First of all, it's good to see you all.
How are you?
We have our Sholomation here as well. It's
good to see everybody on Purim. We hope Netz Hashem. I think last year we had nothing, right? Because everything got canceled.
We did something during the day.
We did something in my house
as
well.
Something at night.
Right, but at night. So it's already a little bit of progress, I guess.
Yeah,
I always feel a little guilty about that. Although we should acknowledge Rabbi Kalinsky because he's so generous every year and he invites us. We look forward to returning. But as I said, there is progress, and we hope that next year we'll be able to have a typical or proper chagiga, I guess, as the yeshiva usually has it with both parts. And we look forward to that. But I want to thank Avram again for organizing, and Avrami, Josh, for all the good things that they've been doing. And, you know, Rabbi Jake? I don't know, who's joined the team, you know, more recently. So just very briefly, since the hour is late and they don't want us to be here too long and so on and so forth, just a brief thought. This year, of course, is I wouldn't say rare, but it's not a typical year in that Purim falls out on Erev Shabbos. And of course, in the Krachim, where, Mimosio Shua Benun, there was Hakafas Choma, you of course have the problem of Purim Shecholios B'Shabbos. That's a very interesting topic. I'm not going to go deeply into that at the moment. But there are, as is well known, different shitos about how to handle that. Since, of course, the Kriyas HaMegillah part is the easy part, since we know that, like Shofar and Lulav, the Gzeiro Shem Yavrinim Da'ad Hamas B'Shus HaRabim establishes that there is no Kriyas HaMegillah on Shabbos. So the Knisa, the Knima rather to Yom Yadalid, that's a double pasha. That's established, very early on, in the sugyas of Megillah. And not only that, but it creates, of course, a certain very interesting issue, which pastors have had a chance to touch on, and that is the general relationship between Yom Yadalid and Yom Tesvat for people who live in open cities, Ayaros, celebrate the Dalit, and for people in Krachim, Tesvah. So we have this tension, that is captured by two phrases, that we find in connection with the interrelationship of the days. One is, Zman HaShozeh, Eino Zman HaShozeh, which of course differentiates them. And says that these are two different, commemorations, and you're not supposed to, if you live in a craft, you're not typically supposed to do Kriyas HaMegillah on Yom Yadalid, and if you live in Ir, you're not supposed to do it on Yom Tezvah. If you have no other choice, etc., things like Yotze B'Shayara or other things, that becomes part of the interesting question. But typically, we say Zman HaShozeh and Zman HaShozeh are two different days. The Psukim in the end of the Megillah established that there was the takana was made, that there should be two different commemorations. Ramban in the beginning of Megillah, very beautifully, he starts off using Megillah language, and then he raises this question, and that is basically, Heichan Matzinu, in all of Halacha that we lechatkila, right, separate out two separate days for a celebration. Typically, as Ramban says, Mishpadachad Yalachem, and then he goes on to the earlier says, even though it's not technically a problem of Losis Godudu, because it's two different Batei Dinim, but he says, Lachatchila, why would you do such a thing? And again, it's like one of those questions that, until somebody articulates it, gnaws at you a little bit, but Ramban formulates it very, clearly. Explicitly. And then goes on to develop, his own understanding, which if I get a chance on, they touch on, but the different, Ramban reads the psukim in the end of the Megillah very, very carefully, and he notices that the the population of the prazim, starting from the second year, initiated a celebration. And again, it says after the Muhammad, there was celebrations, almost like spontaneous celebrations. In the Arim it was on Yudalid, and the Krachim or Shushan it was on Pesach. And then it says the year after that the Prazim people, they continued to celebrate. And the Ramban says, but it doesn't say that the people in Shushan continued to celebrate, and the people in other Krachim. So what happened to them? So this is the Ramban, beginning of the Ramban's explanation. He has a certain historical view of who lived where and when, but especially who was in greater danger and who had greater sensitivity, or basically, this part he doesn't develop so explicitly, and I'm not sure if this is his main point, but based on how the Ramban, beginning of Megillah, describes things, the way the effect of it is, even if that isn't necessarily the point that he wants to accentuate, is that the main event took place in Shushan. That's where all the media was centered, and of course that's where the Gzeira was made, and the Gzeira was going to be implemented, with the cameras rolling, and that's a bit misleading. If you look at the Mishnah, I'm adding a little bit. The Mishnah, when it talks about these manehem, the numerous different days of Kriyas HaMegillah, so, when it comes to Arim and Krachim, it begins with Krachim, and the Rambam does too. And that's very understandable because of the central role that Shushan played, and by extension, therefore, the Krach. The point that the Ramban makes, though, is that the most vulnerable population were in the Prazim. Even though, the politics, was all going on in Shushan, it was the people in the outlying areas, and especially who didn't live in walled cities, they were the greatest sakan. But basically, it sounds like Ramban is saying that, the year after, the Shushan people kind of, they were, they remembered fondly what had taken place. They celebrated spontaneously that first year. And as far as they were concerned, they were ready to move on. And it was a happy memory, but it wasn't going to be a yearly, commemoration. And it was the people in the Arim, in the cities, who insisted that this be, a yearly event. And the way the Ramban writes about it, I keep repeating that, because I'm not sure what he means to emphasize, but what he says is, number one, the people in the open cities were in greater danger. But it sounds like he also says that they had a greater, maybe there was a relationship to these things, they had a greater sensitivity, maybe, to the enormity of the events, maybe because they were more vulnerable. And that the people in the Krachim, said, okay, so the people in the open cities were vulnerable, but we were pretty okay after the war part, so it's fine, for us to remember fondly, not necessarily to commemorate Europe. And that was not something that they were punished for. Ramban didn't say that, but he's saying that when the Chachamim eventually decided to formalize the holiday, that's the reason that they intentionally split it up, because they wanted to retain the prior status of the Prazim. Because, number one, they did historically, they were the first ones to make this a yearly holiday, and because they were more vulnerable, and there's a little bit of a, and it was important for the Krach people to realize that they too had to celebrate every year. Because after all, even if they weren't in Sakana as much, to make it, to warrant a yearly event, when Kol Yisrael is in Sakana, that's enough. And Ramban notes that the word kol, is repeated two or three times, each time gratuitously, in terms of the reading of the Megillah. You don't need the word kol. But the implication is that the people of the Krach were assessing things from their own perspective, And the fact that Achayim B'nai Yisrael in the present were in greater danger, or that any Jew anywhere was in greater danger, you know, was not something that they sufficiently appreciated. And therefore, the priority is given to the people in Yudalit over that of the people in Tezvav, even though objectively, this is based on the earlier analysis of the Ramban, right? Yudalit should have been the day for everybody, you know, frankly. So it's a very fascinating, I think, analysis, and one which is very thought-provoking. You know, we've, you know, since the time of Purim, many centuries have passed, and, you know, we probably have a greater sensitivity than ever that, you know, when, you know, one Jewish community is in danger, you know, number one, the corporate character of Klal Yisrael determines that, you know, all of Klal Yisrael needs to respond and to react. Klal Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. That's part of what it means to be a corporate, you know, people. And we've also certainly learned that, even from a pragmatic point of view, this idea that, you know, one community can be in danger and other communities, you know, can be confident, you know, is just a historical fallacy. And sadly, we've had to learn that again and again, you know, over history. So this whole exchange of this history that the Ramban, you know, in his, with his microscope, I guess, or his, you know, is able to, you know, to shed light on and to weigh in on, is very fascinating. But either way, what emerges is that there is a Yudalit and there's a Tezvav. Even though there's a Yudalit and a Tezvav, of course, the status of Yudalit, according to the Ramban, and this is even more explicit in the larger view of the Be'iri, sort of not going to examine the expressions of it now, but haven't passed for some of the people in the room, I believe. So, but, you know, the Be'iri is very explicit that the people who celebrate in the Krachim, Tezvav, really have 2 days of celebration. It's Yudalit and Tezvav. The truth is, the Havamina, the Gemara and Megillah, right, the Gemara says originally, you know, Bizmani Hens, Mani Harbe, Tiknu, and Chachamim, and then the Gemara suggests, you know, where all these days come from. And the Gemara says, well, you know, and what about Tezvav? So the Gemara says, well, maybe there shouldn't be. You know, if the Yudalit people are, if the Arim are celebrating Yudalit, so it must be that the Krachim people are celebrating, you know, Tezvav. Almost, it's a strange reading of the Gemara. Almost like there needs to be 2 days, which in light of Ramban or other explanations we can't understand. And therefore it needs to be a distinctive day and a separate day. So then the Gemara has a Havamina. The Gemara says, maybe the people in Krach shouldn't celebrate at all. Which is, certainly this very fascinating chapter of Tari, the very beginning of Megillah, certainly had a profound impact on Ramban's whole analysis. He quotes, you know, 1 or 2 lines of Havamina himself, without saying, you know, that he's impressed with these Havaminas. But it's clear. So the Gemara had 1 line where the Gemara thought, B'nai Krach, they don't celebrate at all. And then the Gemara says, Atu Lab Yisrael Minhu, like a very sharp line, which you can understand in a very technical way, you know, but especially like Ramban, you know, takes on a completely different meaning and a much more, let's say, you know, thought-provoking meaning. Meaning, of course, they can't sit out the celebration, you know, if it doesn't affect them or as if they don't have responsibility for it. Every member of Klal Yisrael needs to identify, you know, with what's happening, you know, on Purim. So then the Gemara says, okay, so maybe they're supposed to celebrate 2 days. And then the Gemara rejects that. And then the Gemara says, or maybe they have a choice, more fascinating, Havamina. They could choose whether they want to celebrate on Yudalit or Tezvav. So, you know, in addition to Ramban, the Be'iri takes this all in a slightly different way. You know, the Yerushalmi, you know, says in a few places that, like in cases like Safek or other things, you know, where you're not so sure how to paskin, that Yom Yudalit, you know, is the day for Rov Yisrael. And that could be understood in terms of Ribui and Miut and being Poshet or Safek. But the way that Miri understands it, and the Gura too, I must say, is that, you know, basically Yudalit is the universal day. It applies to everybody. It doesn't mean Rov and Miut, it means everybody. But the Gra has a line in which he says that if you have a Safek, you know, whether a particular city is Mukav Chom or not, then you should, you know, make all you should make a bracha. This is a debate whether you make a bracha or not. And you know, on your dal. So the Gra says it's like you know, if you have a suffix, whether something is bori pri ha'eis or bori pri adam. You know, so what do? So you make a bori pri adam. So that's a terrible comparison. If you have a certain understanding, I think it's Rambam's understanding of zman shalzeh, eino zman shalzeh, because then you know the two have nothing to do with each other. That's not adama and eis. Adama is, you know, more generic, and eis is more specific. By making that comparison, the Gra was kind of endorsing what the Meiri says about a whole bunch of dinim. Details not important for now, which is that, you know, for B'nai Krach, Yadalad, you know, is also a day. Just that they're distinctive days, that's not. But for the Ramban, that's because they kind of don't deserve to get in on the initial Yadalad, all things being equal. But of course, in the years when, you know, it's called the Shabbos, so therefore B'nai Krach also end up reading on Yadalad, if you take this view, the Gra, the Meiri, maybe even part of the Ramban, it's hard to know what the Ramban would say about all this, but we can speculate. So then it isn't just, you know, a kadima, you know, to an earlier day. It's, you can't compare a good Dalid, Shechol B'Shabbos, in a Kiddush HaChodesh era, where you have to read on your Gimel, to Tezlov, which is called B'Shabbos, where you have to read on the Dal. There's no middle one, you know, to the other. So despite, you know, Zman HaShalzeh and Zman HaShalzeh, there are extra elements. And that's the reason why the Meiri, for example, is of the opinion that the Seuda, this is a big debate, when do you have the Seuda in, you know, in Purim Shechol Yos and the Shabbos, Krachim, which is what you have this year, there is a show in Yerushalayim, etc. So the Meiri's view is that you eat the Seuda on Friday. Normally there's never a kedima for a Seuda. So he says, that's true. Normally, if you're talking about Yadalad to Yigimel, and certainly if you're talking about, you know, B'nai HaKfar, you know, who read on Yadalad, Beis, Yigimel, even forgetting Shabbos. But if you're talking about Tezvav on Yadalad, right, that's, you know, that's a whole different story. So that's a very interesting issue. Others disagree. Others think, and they call it the Purim Meshulash, that the you have the Suda on the next Sunday. That's the question, actually 2 days in the year. And others say you can have the Suda on Shabbos. Having the Suda on Shabbos is a problem because of the Yerushalmi. This is a very fascinating Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, I'll show it on the language here, I scribbled it down somewhere, comment that in the Pasuk, you know, which allows for the formulation that we postulate. Commenting on that, Yerushalmi says, this is the source in Yerushalmi that you shouldn't have a Sudas Purim in Shabbos. It's a very strange thing. And again, not every Paschim is like the Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi doesn't appear in Bavli. And this is a major, major debate. They say about three shittos about what to do in a year like this if you live in a city like Yerushalayim. So what does it really mean, Toli Bebezdin as opposed to Kli Yerushalayim? So I always thought that, you know, on the Pashtus, if you didn't have any other information, you know, you would think that this is about Kiddush HaChodesh and, you know, Elam Odei Hashem, Asher Tikro Olsam Mikroi Kodesh, as opposed to Shabbos, which is Kavua V'Kaima Mishesh Tmei Bereishis. And what we're saying is these are two incompatible types of, you know, Yamim Tovim types. Of course, the problem with that is, that, and again, you can explain that, and, you know, it actually would be connected to the shir that we had this morning a little bit, you know, and the day before, about the relationship between Shabbos and Yom Tov, which we're talking briefly about, as it happens. On the other hand, of course, it isn't true. We can have a Shabbos and Yom Tov integrated meal. If anything, the evidence, and we're not going to go into detail on that either, is that when you have Shabbos and Yom Tov together, that they're mutually enhancing, and that they kind of what I call create a hyphenated, you know, status. So if you have them one day after the other, that's the whole sugya in Eruvin, and especially in Beitza, a little bit Rosh Hashanah, Kedusha Achas, Shtei Kedushas. And when you have them together, there are also some sorts of interesting indications that you have, you know, kind of a Beria Kadasha, you know, which is more than the sum of its parts. So having a Shabbos Yom Tov meal, you know, even though one is Kriya Mebezin, and the other is Kriya, you know, Kabuva Kaima Mishesh's May, Brachus is not an issue or a problem at all. So what does Rishami mean? So I thought, not sure if the language works totally Mebezin, but I think that the emphasis here is on the fact that this is a different kind of the Chachamim, the Mebezin, that's created a different model, one which is incompatible with Shabbos. Or if it had been integrated into Shabbos, would have been, you know, too similar to Yom Tov, and that's exactly what they wanted to avoid. But all these gyrations in terms of the, you know, how to formulate this day. Who should observe it? What should be the components of its observance? Again, if you look carefully, the Gemara already says in Megillah, notes that, you know, in the first iteration of the Prozim, the Alkane, the one that Ramban, you know, notes was only the Prozim. You know, so you had, of course, the formulation of Yom Tov. And Simcha, Mishta, Yom Tov, you know, Mishloach Manos, you know, Ish L'Re'eh. But in the one that was accepted, which also, of course, included Prachim, extended it. It also flipped it, and it also dropped the Yom Tov, and it added the Matanos L'Yom. I always like to mention this. I think it's very important. In the original iteration was Yom Tov. The Gemara says maybe there is no Yisur Malach at all, you know, on Purim, because they dropped it, so there's no more din of Yom Tov. The Rambam, of course, paskins the Enaroa Siman Yafa. We show some Malach on Purim. He makes it sound like at least in the Rabbanon there's something. Rambam actually also, in his formulation, retains, you know, the order of Simcha Umishta. But in the end of the day, that's not what the Sukkim said. So they dropped the Yom Tov. They included Matanos L'Avyonim, right? And they also flip the order of Simcha and Mishnah. So instead of Simcha Mishnah, it's Mishnah and Simcha. What's the difference? Because Simcha Mishnah is a typical Yom Tov idea. There's a Chiyuv Simcha, and an expression of that is Mishnah. It can be Shalmei Simcha, Basar Yayin, other things, etc. Oneg Shabbos, and there's Simcha Yom Tov, and also an interesting question. But this is a consequence, and it's an expression, it's not a cause, you know, it's not the makor. When you say something is Mishnah v'Simcha, when you flip the order, right, the orientation is completely different. You're trying to generate a certain kind of Simcha through Mishnah, through the physicality of the day. And in a way, Matanos L'Avyonim, also, as Matanos at least, not something that's appropriate for a Yom Tov. In the switch, three different things happen. So basically, at its time, the Anshei Knesset Gadol, whatever, they were all trying to figure out what is the best way to formulate Purim so that, you know, it is going to be meaningful every single year, the Dori Doros, even more meaningful maybe than other holidays. Or the Medrash in Mishlei says, you know, even if Moedim are going to be Betalim, whatever that means, you know, Purim will remain, and of course Yerushalmi, that the Rambam codifies in the end of the Megillah, that if Sifrei, maybe Muksubim, will be B'Talim, or their Priya B'Tzipor will be B'Talim, as the Rambam understands it, you know, that Megillah will remain. So you have this very fascinating, you know, kind of combination, that on the one hand they turned away from the more traditional Kein Doraisa, you know, Yom Tov type of celebration, and that made it actually more enduring and impactful. Not chalila because, you know, Yom Tov is less, but because like Purim became the holiday of every day. It became the holiday of Nes Nisar, the holiday of Ashkacha, and I really think it became the holiday of Yeshua, or Sipisa Yeshua, or Tikva. And that's why I always like to quote this Rambam in the very beginning of Yad HaChazaka, after he has the Minyan HaKatzar, where he talks about Mal Tosef, and he mentions the examples of Purim and Chanukah, but that the way that he says, Mosifu Bezdin Imanabi, Yeva Osa Osman Mitzvah, Derek Takana, Derek Ara, Hodaha, Ein Zut Tosefetz. Shalai Omra Kachmar Kotziva Lasa, Eru Malikos Megillah. Yila Omra Kain, Ayu Mosifu Nalatar, Kachana Odom, Shalavi, Mendez, and Tiknu, the Tziva Likros on Megillah, the Mechanica, right? I'm sorry, Bel Nasa, Kedei Lahaskir Shvachav Shalai Kachmar Kot, who chuos asalanu by a karov l'shabasenu kedei levarchal ulahalmo kedei laudia v'doros abayim she'enesu masher fichatora umi goy gadol asher lo alokim. So it's fascinating what the Rambam picks to emphasize about the Megillah is, and this makes it very different than Chanukah, of course, with all the overlap, and that is it's a holiday which highlights the bond, the enduring bond between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam, even when everything seems bleak, and when Yeshua is most required and seems farthest away. That's the Rambam's characterization of Kriyas Megillah. And I would like to say that's why Matanos Lev Yonim, is such a central idea. Not Matanos L'Aniyim, but Evyon. What's interesting, Evyon and Ani, and Evyon is a person who's desperate. Evyon is a person who feels alienated, disenfranchised, doesn't belong anywhere. He basically has no future. And Ani is somebody who has, no control over his destiny, but, he has Ani's kames, but an Ani is not necessarily somebody who feels that he has no hope. And it's very interesting if you look at the Rambam's, I'm going to end it now because I'm going to too much time, but when the Rambam Hilchos Yom Tov speaks about Simcha, and Simchas Yom Tov, he talks about, Simchas Yom Tov and not Simchas Kreis. And the Rambam says you have to be very careful, Kishan Elocha V'shosem Sameach B'regalei Mashiach B'yayim, Askot B'kalas Rosh, Yom Kol Misha Yosef Yarba Bitz HaSimcha HaShichros HaSchol Karbe Kalos Rosh Eim HaSimcha LaHolenus HaSichros V'lo Netzavino LaHolenus HaSichros HaSimcha Sheish Ba'avodas Yotzer HaKol. Beautiful language. Sheyem HaTachas HaShem HaVantas HaShem LaKacha B'Simcha B'Tov Leiva. And so on. And that's how he explains that you have to, if you don't provide for Aniyim and, Ululalim, then it's Simchas Kreso rather than Simchas Mitzvah. But what's fascinating is there's a very parallel formulation in the Rambam, in the Megillah, where the Rambam says Matanos Avyonim is superior, in the attention that it requires and the financial as well, to Mishloach Manos. And the Rambam's language appears, it says, Mutav Adam Laharvas Matanos Avyonim, Milaharvas Besudaso, Bishiluach Manos Lareya. Ain't some simcha gedolu before the Sameach Levaniyim, the Solomon Belmanos Vigayim. Shall the Sameach Levalon, the Maila Doma Lashina, Shinam Lahachios Ruach Shafalin, Lahachios Levi Mitkan. So if you look carefully, in both cases, the Rambam has a stirring explanation of why it is that, you have to, you have to channel your simcha in a spiritually significant, counterintuitive almost way. Certainly relative to the way the rest of the world understands the notion of merriment and joy. But they're different. In Yom Tov, it's about Avodas Hashem. And in Megillah, it's about hope. And it's about a sense of optimism. Even for someone, Hamaseleach Leivu Blalim, Doma L'Shchina, which is Lahachios Ruach Shvarim, Lahachios Leib Yidkar. And that's very consistent with what the Rambam writes in the very beginning of the Yad, as I read it before. So that's why Matanos Avyonim is so crucial, and that's why Mishnah, you know, what the drinking part of Mishnah too, is something that is supposed to give you a sense of heightened, you know, kind of awareness, where, you know, you see things that aren't, you know, logically or scientifically, not suggesting that you abandon the science, that's the issue, but that you kind of see beyond, in some cases, the realities in front of you. It doesn't mean, certainly, that you should become, you know, oblivious and insensitive, kalila. That's why it should be done, if it's done, in moderation. The goal of it is to kind of, again, give you a sense of hope and optimism and a sense that there's more in the world, you know, than we can feel and touch, you know, mathematically, you know, describe. And therefore it's Mishnah v'Simcha. And the normal din of Yom Tov is not what Purim is about. The normal din of Yom Tov is you know, critical for where we have it. And here this is not in the pattern of Tchilo l'mikroi Kodesh, of Shabbos. You know, it's Mishnah, you know, which produces Simcha. And it's Matanos Lavyonim, you know, which is at the centerpiece, Lahachios, you know, Nidkaim, and Umlalim. It's about a sense of destiny and a sense of Klal Yisrael. That's, I think, also why the Prachim, Mukafas Kami Moshe Yoshua, you know, was the Lachlok Kavo Eretz Yisrael, says the Yerushalmi. The Ramban, again, beginning of Gilok, points out that, you know, it doesn't necessarily even fit in, you know, with the normal rules of the Kedusha Saharis, you know, in terms of the boundaries of Yoshua and Ezra and, you know, the time period. The details are not important, something we discussed with last year, for those who are here. But the bigger idea is that Lachlo Kavod Eretz Yisrael is a way of emphasizing Klal Yisrael and that relationship, that bond between Mikam Klal Yisrael Goyachad, and the fact that no matter what the situation is, both the unity of Klal Yisrael, the corporateness of Klal Yisrael, the call that the Ramban was speaking of, and equally what the Rambam was speaking of in the beginning of the Minyan HaKatzar, after the Minyan HaKatzar, as well as here in the end of this Megillah. I think for this reason also, there's so much emphasis in the Megillah itself and in Al Nisim, you know, about Bizayim. This very Ushlalam Labos, you know, Bizayim Vaketzef, in the sense of self-image and pessimism or optimism. Is a crucial aspect in Esther that we don't find practically in any other, you know, work. And that's because it's about this sense of optimism, this sense of possibility, v'nafachu, leich kinosayi, the power of tefillah. I always like to point out, Rav Amram Gon thinks to say tachanun on Purim, not because it's a sad day, but because it's a day in which, you know, maybe more than any other day, was demonstrated that when all seems lost, right, you know, tefillah and tzaka can change the reality. So all of these things are what makes Purim special. Typically, we celebrate, you know, with dance and you know, with Mishnah that leads to Simcha, hopefully in moderation and with these ideas in mind. This year, you know, after given the reality, you know, we're celebrating differently. But the themes remain the same. So I want to wish everybody a Simchas Purim. And it's true that we, you know, for this reason, I believe, this is the fact where I started with, we can't integrate, it's very difficult to integrate, according to the Yerushalmi, Sudas Shabbos and Sudas Purim. Because it's not like Yom Tov. It's the Beis Din, in this case, created 2 days in defiance of Nishpadach and Yelachem. And all the other elements, Matanos Lavyonim, the switching of the order, the dropping of the Yom Tov, I think it's that they mean all of that, precisely because it's not a day, you know, which is compatible, not in, not Sira, but it doesn't well, you know, it doesn't integrate well with Shabbos. Shabbos is a totally different theme, unlike other Yom Tov. But that's precisely, you know, once a year, what we accentuate. So, again, I wish you all to this Purim. And I hand things over to...
Something.
So,